in this episode of She's Off Script.
In July, when I quit my job, I already had like about 12 weddings between July and December. It was just time for me to quit. There was no question about that.
2 years ago, Jewel Odeyemi decided to make her event and design company official when she could no longer balance her day job with her booming side business. In a relatively short period of time, her weddings have gone viral and have been seen in Essence, ABC News, and Bella Niger, to name a few.
When I started off, I reached out to a few event planners. I sent emails. I mean, I sent like tons of emails. Crickets. Like, I didn't get anything back. Once I started getting, you know, very noticeable on Instagram and social media, now I get like all those people that I reached out to years ago now reaching out to me like, hey, Jewel, by the way, you know, great work. I've been following you.
Join me as we go off script with the founder of Touch of Jewel Events and Design. Jewel Odeyemi, welcome to She's Off Script. How are you?
I am great. How are you?
I'm doing well. So for those of you listening in the audience, Jewel is a close friend of mine. She has been event planning full-time for about 2 years now, and lots of stories to share there. But I knew Jewel was blowing up when I saw one of the weddings she planned on the YouTube channel of a big time YouTuber. And I called it. I was like, Jewel, this is your wedding. But I'm so excited for you guys to hear from her today. So Jewel, for those of the listeners that haven't been touched by Jewel, please give us your elevator pitch.
Well, first of all, thank you so much for having me on your platform. My name is Jewel. I am the owner, founder, creative director of Touch of Jewel Events and Designs. I'm a planning company that I started out about 5 years ago and just recently went on full time to do this. Our nation's weddings, so we do a lot of weddings, mostly a lot of ethnic, multicultural weddings. But on the side, we also dive into doing corporate events, social events, you know, company galas and things like that. So we are local, based out of Dallas, Texas, but we have had the opportunity to travel across the country to host several events. So it's been a good progress. I can't complain. It's definitely been a great progress.
Definitely. From my vantage point as a friend outside of your business, I've certainly seen that growth and progress.
Thank you.
I mean, if you ever see a picture from one of Jewel's weddings, she has that signature look, so you know it's her. But before we dig into where you are now, I want to just take a step back and understand where you came from. So take us all the way back to when you were younger. What did you want to be?
Well, so I am Nigerian. Nigerian, and you know, I think there's just that stereotype in the Nigerian culture, probably even in the African culture. You know, raised as an African, you have to go into a professional career, right? So professional meaning, you know, being a doctor, lawyer, engineer. Those are like the three tough choices, right? And coming from a family where my mom was an educator, so she was a teacher. My dad, he's an accountant. It was definitely drilled in us. I mean, with my mom being a teacher, I mean, I came and got the farther end of the stick, you know? So it was always just drilled in us. Like, we had to be successful. Like, it was like, if I got a B, why couldn't you get an A? Did anybody else in your class get an A? If they did get an A, you know, it was just always like that, you know? And so raised that way, it was just like, well, we just had to kind of go into being successful. I moved from Nigeria out to the United States about 20 years ago. And I would say roughly I got here in about the ninth grade, right? So transitioning and coming here into high school, I actually found that, you know, a lot of things that were being taught at the time, it was almost like they were behind and I was like, you know, steps ahead.
Wow.
And so I felt like that kind of maybe set me back a little bit because I was kind of forced to go back. You know, a lot of things that I'd learned already from maybe like the sixth, seventh grade back home, it was like stuff that I was just learning here in the ninth grade.
Interesting.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, finally graduated, got into college, and it was, you know, dad was like, I always thought I was going to become a doctor. So I got into college to actually start majoring in biology. And along the way, I just kind of realized that science probably was just not for me. And I was doing it just out of the fact that my parents wanted me to do that. So I switched from the School of Science into arts.
That's very mature of you.
This is like in my 30th year of college, by the way, just FYI. So I remember telling my dad that I was switching and I was going to do business. Mm-hmm. And he was like, business? What do you mean business? Business is for people that have no direction in life, the easy way out of going to college. And it was a battle, but we made it through. I graduated with my business.
Well, you skipped over the battle. So help us out, especially for those who are now about to have those conversations with their parents. So what did you say to your dad that helped him get comfortable with you switching to business? Because today, if you tell someone that you have majored in business, they think, wow, great.
So I would say that, I mean, it took a lot of researching and just kind of, I had to do a lot of research, look up a lot of people who had done business and just explain to him that, well, eventually, yes, I do want to work in a career field, but eventually I do want to own my own business. And I feel like it would be great to have that type of business background. I had to kind of prove to him and say, okay, here are all the careers that I can do with a business degree. And he was just very adamant. It was, I almost rebelled, literally. I mean, I think I pretty much rebelled throughout the rest of my college years, basically. I wouldn't advise anybody to do that. I don't know. But I think, you know, in sense of me also paying my way through college too, it was kind of like, well, you know, I can do whatever I want to do type of feel. But the funny thing is now my dad is, you know, every time he calls me, do you have an event this weekend? And then after my event, he calls me, how did the event go? Like, he wants to know every bit of what happened at the event. But I mean, you know, I graduated, I got my college degree. I did, you know, I got my business administration degree and got an HR job working at Citi. So I got into the HR department and did HR and training for about 10 years. Before I decided to kind of quit.
So you know what? Our resumes are similar in that we stayed in that same company for about a decade. So why did you stay so long?
Well, so I started working at Citi and I actually didn't start in the HR department, right? So I got the job while I was in college and I was working call center. I was working in their call center division. So once I graduated and got my bachelor's, it was very easy to kind of transfer. And, you know, so I applied within the company and got accepted into an AVP role and, you know, started doing HR. And I just enjoyed it. You know, I'm a people person. Anyone that knows me knows I'm like, I'm a people person. I'm very bubbly. I love to meet people. I love to just kind of gauge different personalities. And so I truly enjoy that because I would travel to different sites and actually train, you know, employees, train, you know, directors, VPs, and just, you know, train them on operations and policies and procedures in the company. So it was just that networking and getting to meet all those people. So I enjoyed working at Citi and I enjoyed the role that I was, you know, I was in. And the interesting thing is when I decided to quit, because then I took on event planning back in 2013. And so from 2013 to 2016, I was working my regular job, my corporate job, and I was doing my business on the side. And at first, you know, it was kind of like, okay, I could do this, but it got to that point where I was like, okay, no, this is tough. You know, one thing was suffering. It was my corporate work was suffering and I would take my personal laptop to work and like, you know, be working on like my event planning stuff and like, you know, keep my eyes on the bag, make sure like no one is coming into my office.
Like, so you were towing that line.
I was. And so that was kind of when I knew like, okay, I had to make a decision to either, you know, quit my planning job and just kind of focus on corporate, quit corporate and go on full time. The interesting thing actually was I had a conversation with my husband and I told him, I said, you know, I'm really enjoying this whole event planning and I want to go full time. And he looked at me like I was crazy, like, wait, what? You're making this amount of money in corporate? Like, do you understand what that is? Like, you have a steady income and steady revenue coming through. Have you really thought about it? I don't think it's something that you should do. And it so happened that that was also about the time where a lot of my coworkers were getting laid off. Like, you know, the company was going through a major reorg And so my thought process was like, you know what? I'm just going to sit and wait to be laid off. And that would be God's kid telling me it's time to go and, you know, start your own business. My husband wasn't having that. So he actually went behind my back and started applying to other jobs for me.
Wow. Now that's love.
He applied to jobs for me. I got an interview. I mean, that's another story. Cause I was like, wait, I got a call. We got your application. I'm like, application? What application? I didn't apply anywhere. And they're like, yeah, you know, we got your application. And they, you know, quickly I was like, yes. Okay. What's the role about? It was a similar role to what I was, you know, where I was at Citi. Mm-hmm. So I took the interview, I took the job, they offered me the position, and I was like, I countered them and I was like, I don't really need this job. Like, I really just want to sit here and get laid off and get my severance package. Like, I've been with the company for like 9 years. I'm like, I know I was going to get a pretty good severance package. Mm-hmm. And they offered me, I asked for about a 25% increase, and they offered me that. And okay. So I took the job. And so after taking the job, it was kind of like, well, I guess Touch of Jewel is just going to have to take the back seat. I started work in February of 2016. Mm-hmm. And come June, I just realized I was not happy. I just wasn't happy. And it was just that intuition, you know, and then my business had started, started doing a lot better. I was getting clients, and time just became, I just didn't have time to focus on the business. And I felt like in order for this business to go to where I needed to go, I needed to devote time into it. I had to have a come to Jesus meeting with my husband, and we just kind of strategized, planned ahead. And I walked into the work next day, and I just literally handed out my 2 weeks notice to my boss. Mm-hmm. And it came as a shock, because it was like, you know, are you not happy? We really love you. We could offer you more. But it was just, I just knew that it was just time for me to go out into doing what I felt happy doing.
Mm-hmm. So give us a little bit of insight into that, just because a lot of people, when they go off script and they start to do something that really surprises their loved ones, how do you convince them? What are those things that you say to someone like a husband or a parent to get them on side with your passion?
Great question. So my husband, he's a numbers person. Like, everything about him is numbers, budgeting, you know, it just has to make financial sense. If it doesn't make financial sense, you can't do it. So when it came down to, you know, me deciding, okay, I wanted to quit my job, we knew that we were going to definitely take a serious pay cut. We looked at what the business was bringing in, where I was at. We had a business plan, and to see, okay, based on what income is coming in right now, how long is it going to take for you to get to where you are right now? And how far out can the business go? Like, what's the maximum potential that you can, you know, do with this business? Because, I mean, it's one thing to just plan weddings, but are there any other streams of revenue that you can have coming in with this business, right? Mm-hmm. And I think there was just also that saying that, well, you know what, you have your degree. So if we try this for 6 months, you give me a time frame. Mm-hmm. And it was like, if this doesn't work out, you can always go back to the corporate world. You know,
little so that
was
did he know, Jewel's probably like, I'm never going back.
You know, so that was kind of the, you know, the deciding factor. But I'll tell you though, like, anyone that's thinking about doing that, it's not just about walking away from what you're doing. Cause I mean, it takes a lot of balls to walk away from a steady income. And I would say that I have the vantage point of, you know, having a husband, because it was just not my income. We had two incomes coming into the family.
Right.
So when we really sat down and strategized and did budgeting, I had to make sure that we had enough savings to cover us for a certain period of time. Mm-hmm. So it just really is all about planning. And you have to set goals. That's another important thing. So you have to set goals on where you want your business to be. And it's not just about setting goals, but you also have to put in measures in place to make sure that you attain those goals, right? Mm-hmm. So when I started out, like, I was crazy networking. Like, I was crazy networking. I was on social media. Like, I would get feedback like, oh my God, Jewel, we're logged into our feed and all we saw was Touch of Jewel. I'm like, I don't care. I need everybody to know.
You need to know
who Touch Jewel is, right? And so it was a lot of hard work, and I was really determined to prove that I could do this. You know, this was something that I really wanted to do. And, mm-hmm. you know, I mean, it's been 2 years now since I quit my corporate job, and, you know, I haven't had to look back. So
going strong. So that first Monday after you quit your job, what thoughts were going through your mind? Because you weren't waking up to go to anybody else's business. You were going to run your business that Monday morning.
Yep. I think for me, you know, so the event planning business, it's, I mean, you know, how did I get into it, right? The cliche of, you know, you get married, all of a sudden everyone gets married and they want to become a wedding planner, you know. Fortunately, unfortunately, that was a storyline for me. You know, when I was getting married in 2012, I'd actually looked around to hire a wedding planner, but meaning that we were going to have a very big wedding. I mean, we had a 2-day wedding. Over the course of 2 days, we had 800 guests, and it was an ethnic multicultural wedding. And at the time, I didn't really know of any planners out here that could really handle that. And, mm-hmm. you know, dealing with the African guests is just a complete different ballgame. And so after searching and looking on, just couldn't really find any planner, I felt like, you know what, I could probably just take this on and start planning myself. And that was really how I started planning my wedding. It took a couple of years. Mm-hmm. I had a coordinator for the day off just to kind of make sure everything was good. And from that point on, when I was in 2012, I felt like, oh, you know, this is something that I love doing. I never thought that I would do this full time or I would quit my corporate job to do this. But, you know, 2013, I booked my very first official client. And from that point onwards, it was just like, you know, just great feedback. And it was really great to hear, you know, the clients, the guests just really give you a lot of accolades. Like, man, we've never been to a wedding that was so organized before. Like, we've been to weddings and this has been different. And that just really started to give me all the confidence that I need, you know, that I needed. And mm-hmm. from that point onwards, I mean, you just had to get better. And so, you know, fast forward back to when I quit my job, that first Monday, I'll probably say that entire week, I really just took that week to do a lot of research, you know, mm-hmm. just kind of find out like people that could be mentors to me. Like, let me find out people who have been in this game for a long time. Let me read up on their stories. Let me see, you know, how they were able to survive this long. And mm-hmm. then, you know, in addition to that, also just kind of brainstorming and thinking about how else can I bring in other streams of income, you know, to this, and also a lot of networking, you know? So mm-hmm. I think that was really what I kind of focused my first week on doing.
So how long did it take you to fall into a productive rhythm with your business?
You know, so I quit my job in July, and I was already like, I was back to back. I was already booked from like July back to back through like December. So wow. I almost felt like I really didn't even have time to really sit and strategize. And I think that was also one of the things that really just pushed me, because I looked at my calendar in July when I quit my job. I already had like about 12 weddings between July and December.
So it was time for you to quit.
It was just time for me to quit. It was, I mean, there was no question about that. And so really, you know, to be honest, if I had to think back, I really didn't have time to just really sit and like, oh my God, okay, let me strategize. It was like, I just had to jump right into it. So it was in December, January of 2017 mm-hmm. was actually when I sat down and kind of did a little bit of reorg and restructure and kind of rebranding mm-hmm. and, you know, getting myself out there and like not really figuring out, okay, what's my business plan? Like, what do I want to do? And, you know, so I had to really, because it's very easy to fall into a lazy habit once you kind of start working on your own, right? Because you wake up in the morning, like I have two kids, I drop them off at school. I could easily just come back home and go to sleep, right?
Or Netflix just, you know, and chill all day.
Absolutely. No, I had to literally have like a to-do list every day. You know, mm-hmm. I had to have things that I needed to do. And it was really between like juggling clients, networking, and really just working on my branding and my marketing and my outreach. That was a lot of what my focus was within that first year of business.
Okay. You've said that the event planning industry is survival of the fittest, in that there's no one to hold your hand and show you the ropes necessarily, other than you reaching out to find mentors. And so For anyone who's an aspiring event planner, are there any mistakes that you made that you think they should steer clear of?
So I am a believer that, you know, no mistake is a mistake. I feel like, you know, whatever mistakes were made, were made in a way to help you get to where you are today, right? So when I started off, I had reached out to a few event planners. I sent emails. I mean, I sent like tons of emails, crickets. Like I didn't get anything back. And, you know, it's very easy to get discouraged. It's very easy to just kind of be like, you know what? And it's a community where everyone feels like, no, it's just, you know, there's no room for anybody else, but there is room for everybody else, you know? And so with me, I mean, after really just not getting any feedback, I think it was one planner that I connected with and she was very nice, kind enough to, you know, share her stories and just kind of take me under her wing and help me through some of the processes. And I was just kind of able to learn from her. But anyone that's looking to get into the event planning business, understand that, you know, no one is going to be there. Don't expect for somebody to just give you everything, right? You also have to work for it. You have to do a lot of, you know, investing in yourself. That's like the biggest thing. So with me, I've had to, you know, go to seminars. I've had to go to, you know, trainings. I did take a training, you know, I'm a certified wedding and event planner. Mm-hmm. So I did have to like, you know, take a training course. I go to like a wedding MBA every year just to kind of make sure that I stay abreast of what's happening in the, you know, in the industry.
Right.
So for anyone who is looking to become a wedding planner, it's not for the faint. Don't think you're just going to get in here and you're going to start making a whole bunch of money right away. It takes a lot of time, takes a lot of patience, takes a lot of courage as well.
Well, certainly courage, just because to take that leap when even the people closest to you are looking at you like, you must be crazy. You have two little kids. To put food in their mouths, really, it takes a lot of courage to do what you've done. And seriously, you already know I'm a big fan. Now, fast forward 2 years. Do you feel confident in your own skin as an event planner?
I would say that I do. And, you know, the funny thing was my very first events were priced at like $500. Right? I was offering like full planning for $500. And if you ask, like, if you ask any planner, like in the industry, that's like, I don't know, that's like the magic number that you start pricing yourself at, like when you start. And sometimes I always felt like, you know what, I should have kind of started, you know, I should have really started by branding myself to be, you know, this particular type of event planner and maybe like started by charging like an enormous amount of money. But, you know, I look back and I say, you know what, I'm okay with how I started because I honestly felt early clients really were the ones that gave me, you know, opened the doors for me and really gave me the exposure. I mean, a lot of my weddings that went viral were, you know, some of my very first weddings that I did and, you know, that I charged, you know, peanuts for. Of course, I'm not charging $500 anymore. But, you know, there's so many things that I kind of struggled with. You know, I didn't know how to price myself. I didn't know how to package myself, you know, and I started getting to the point where I was feeling burnt out. Like I was offering so much for so little. And so I really had to just kind of take a deep breath and, you know, just really re-strategize. And I think that that's something that, you know, that's one of the mistakes that a lot of people can easily fall into because you want to please everybody. You want everybody to book you. You want to get all those clients. So you're so quick to say, yes, I'll throw that in. You know, I'll do that. I'll throw that in. No. Know your worth. You know, once you know your worth and you can say no, you don't have to say yes to anything that comes your way. And, you know, not every single client is for you. So, and I think at this point in time, I've gotten comfortable to where I get a lot of inquiries and I can confidently turn down inquiries that I feel like, you know, this is just not going to align with my brand. You know, it's either not going to align with my brand or, you know, I've been there, done that. You know, I'm now at a different stage of life. And I educate my clients as well. And I tell them that, yes, you can't get, you know, you can pay, you know, $2,000 for full planning, but you know, maybe they've only been in the industry for a year. Maybe they don't have the education that I have. Maybe they don't have the networking that I have. So a lot of times what you're paying for is not just a service, but you're paying for the network of the person that you're, you know, of the business owner. You know, you're paying for the education, you're paying for their, you know, their knowledge. A lot of times that's what you're paying for. So those are some of the things that I would say, you know what, at this point, I'm still learning. I still have, you know, mentors. Now, here's another funny thing, right? It's like, all of a sudden, you know, once like I started kind of getting, you know, very noticeable on Instagram and social media. Now I get like all these people that I reached out to years ago, not reaching out to me like, hey, Jewel, by the way, you know, great work. I've been following
nice
you.
Nice how that works out, isn't it?
I'm like, well, I kind of reached out to you about 3 years ago, but you were nowhere to be found. But it's okay, though. We, you know, it's all love for everybody. But I think, you know, that's that once you kind of get to that point, it really makes you know that, you know what, you've definitely set a tone for yourself and created a brand for yourself in the industry.
If you go onto Jewel's Instagram and you see the caliber of the wedding she's putting on or any videos on social media, you could tell that you've put a lot of time and love into it. That takes a toll on you. You said at a certain point you started to get burnt out. And so how do you find time for yourself? I know you and I have talked about working all day and forgetting to eat lunch. So, you know, what is your self-care routine like? Just because we can't be go, go, go all the time.
So I had to quickly learn that it's okay to say no. That's the number one thing. And honestly, because again, we want to please our clients so much, you know, it's like if a client was to reach out to me and say, oh, I want to meet you on Sunday afternoon or Sunday morning, even though my, you know, work hours states that I'm off on Sundays, I'm just like, oh my God, like, I don't want them to think that I'm not accessible, you know, so I'm going to say yes. And I'm going to inconvenience myself, inconvenience my family just to do that. And, you know, I had to quickly realize that in doing so, I was just going to get stressed out. And clients actually do understand, you know, and once you really just kind of, you have to set the tone, you have to, you know, set that expectation right from the get-go. It makes a lot of difference. So yeah, with my business, it's one where I can't just say, oh, you know, I'm going to turn down this event because I don't know when I'm going to have an event. So it's not like, oh, it's a constant paycheck. I know for sure, like every 2 weeks, I'm going to get a paycheck. I could do a wedding in January and not book another wedding until April. And then so literally the months between, I have no income coming in. And so it's a little bit difficult because I almost have to, you know, try to get as much business as I can, you know, within the time that I can get it. But I always do find time to take that time out. So now my office hours, oh my God, yes, I do monitor that very, very well. I do let my clients know, like, after a certain period of time, this is my family time. And, you know, I ask that they be respectful of that. And, you know, a lot of times, you know, clients want to, you know, they want you to really inconvenience yourself to cater to them. And, you know, my thought process is if you can't take a lunch break to meet up with your wedding planner who is helping you make sure that all of this, you know, is great, then why should I have to take, you know, my Sunday morning going to church, you know, to meet with you? So it really is a, you know, a reciprocal thing. So whatever time I do find, I definitely make sure that, you know, I'm home with the family. I'm just a family. I'm a home person. I love to just spend time with my husband, with my boys, because I just feel like they don't get to see me as much. You know, they go to school 5 days a week and then I'm off on the weekend. So whenever I don't have anything going on, it's just my time to just really spend time with the family, going to movies. I have a lot of shows that I just love to binge on as well. So yeah, and yes, getting a massage too. Yes, I try to get a massage at least once a month. I would love to do it more than once a month, but I definitely make sure like once a month, you know, I just kind of do a de-stress. Very stressful, you know, because I'm not just working with the bride and groom. I'm working with the parents, the bride's parents, the groom's parents, the siblings, the aunts, the uncles, especially in the African community.
Ooh,
you know,
that is a lot. That's a lot of personalities, sometimes strong personalities to manage. Now, I won't ask you to tell tales on your clients, but perhaps we'll ask it this way. Could you help those brides out there understand how they could be the ideal client for a wedding planner of your caliber?
You know, that's a really great question, and there's so many answers to that. But the one thing that I always tell my couples is that it's your day. You know, yes, you know, they say it's your, you know, it's your marriage, it's their wedding, right? Meaning it's mm-hmm. the family's wedding, it's mom and dad's wedding, but it's your mm-hmm. marriage. But honestly, you know, if every couple can realize that it's their day and they shouldn't think or anybody else stress them out, it's kind of easier said than done, you know, because especially with the African community, the African parents are just so heavily, heavily involved in, you know, the plans of the wedding. And I think that's one of the things that sets me apart from other planners. I know how to kind of infiltrate my way into the families. Like, I become mm-hmm. friends real quick with the moms and the dads. And so a lot of times things that a bride might tell her mom and the mom might kind of flip out on, I have my own way of telling the mom, and before you know it, she's agreeing to whatever it was that she didn't want to do before.
Okay.
and so I would say that trust is another thing, right? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. If you're going to pay all this amount of money to somebody to help you plan and orchestrate your wedding, trust that that's what they're going to do. You know, if you're not going to trust them, don't give them your money, you know, but if you've mm-hmm. given them your money, because I find that a lot of brides who are extremely happy, you know, a lot of them is trust, you know, and when I tell them, when I share stories on, hey, okay, giving you an example, you know, the last wedding I did, this is what I educated the bride and groom to do. They went against my wishes in doing that, and this was the result of what happened. And, you know, and they take that and they're like, okay, you know what, Jewel, we definitely don't want that situation, so let's go ahead and do, you know, what you're asking us to do. Just kind of, you know, believing and trusting your planner, you know, that they are there to give you the best day possible. And, you know, a question that some of my clients will ask me, like during the interview process, I do get interviewed, believe it or not, you know, like, well, how do we know that, you know, you're going to do a great job for us? My answer to them is a lot of my clientele come from referrals. And, mm-hmm. you know, if I'm catering your wedding, that's about 200 to, you know, almost 1,000 guests. I definitely want people to recommend me. I want people to go around and say Jewel was the planner and she was on point. So mm-hmm. because of that, I'm definitely going to make sure that I do everything that's in my best power to make sure that your day goes on without any hiccup. Because at the end mm-hmm. of the day, I want you to refer me. I want people at your wedding to refer me to, you know, potential clients as well.
Right. You have skin in the game. Mm-hmm. Your name is on the line every single time.
Every single time. Every single time.
Let's pivot to business talk a little bit.
Okay.
In doing some research, I noticed that there was a study done out there by the Urban Institute that said that the number of millennials who marry by age 40 could decrease as much as 12% below the level among 40-year-olds today, meaning that millennials are probably putting off marriage longer, perhaps mm-hmm. not even getting married at all. So given the trend, I have to imagine that you have to get very creative about how you source your business or how you source your clients. You probably can't rely on referrals only.
Absolutely.
How are you sourcing business for yourself?
Besides doing event planning, mm-hmm. I'm also a stationery designer, right?
Ah.
So, yes. So that's another realm of income that's coming in for me. Mm-hmm. And I have the opportunity to probably do a good 70% of my clients, I do all their stationery, right? So I do all their stationery design. Mm-hmm. So that's like, you know, guaranteed income for me. And then outside of that, I also do stationery designs for even clients who are not my wedding clients. That's one. Two, I have started, you know, doing it's not rolled out yet, okay. But it's in the works. it's in the works. So I'm very big on education. Mm-hmm. I'm very, very big on education. So I'm going to start some masterclass for, you know, upcoming event planners who are looking to kind of get into the industry. So that's another way, you know, so eventually I'm going to start offering classes and seminars and hopefully, you know, hope to bring in additional income from that, right? And then I also mentioned the fact that I don't just do weddings, right? Mm-hmm. So I do corporate events, and you know, a lot of, you know, corporations are always hosting galas, you know, openings, mm-hmm. Employee team building events, you know, Christmas parties, holiday parties. So So that is always going to be there, right?
Right. Now,
so now coming back to weddings, yes, I would say that a good 70% of my business comes from referral. Mm-hmm. And that's one thing that, you know, business owners struggle with, especially those that are super big on Instagram or Facebook. It's like, what happens when Facebook and Instagram goes away, mm-hmm. you know? And that's really one thing that I have been working on to make sure that, okay, in the event that referrals stop coming in, you know, it now becomes, well, you literally have to jump on and get out there and market yourself, mm-hmm. right? And you use every opportunity to market yourself. If I'm in the church and I come into like the singles, you know, group, I'm marketing myself. If I'm at a store and I run into, you know, a couple that we just kind of chit chat or whatever, and I find out they're single, I'm marketing myself, nice. Right? My friends, my family members, everyone that knows about me, you know, they're taking every opportunity they can to say, oh, we know of an event planner. If you're looking for some, you know, someone to help you, you know, plan your event or your wedding or whatever. Mm-hmm. So that's the way that I'm taking right now as to, okay, how else can I bring in my exposure outside of me being referred by current clients that I've done? It's just really you marketing yourself. Right. That's like one of the biggest things. But I think overall, you really have to exhaust like every avenue that you can to market yourself, right? Mm-hmm. Be it social media, be it in person, be it client referrals, you know, be it networking. You know, networking is a good one as well, because a lot of times just in chatting up conversation, you find out that you either need their service or they need your service.
Right.
Or, you know, maybe in them conversing with another business person and, you know, your service comes up, they automatically remember, oh, you know, I know of somebody that could offer this type of service to you. So it's just kind of making sure that you stay abreast on every possible opportunity out there, really, to just get yourself and market yourself.
That's smart, because you do have to even out, as you said, that flow of revenue, just given that weddings have a peak season. And so mm-hmm. if you don't have other forms of revenue kind of filling in those gaps, then it could get a little bit difficult. Millennials in general have been known to rewrite the rules of engagement in quite a few ways. What are some of those new trends you're seeing from your brides that are different from weddings that you've attended 10 years ago?
So this weekend is my wedding anniversary, by the way.
Oh,
so tomorrow is my 6-year wedding anniversary. Thank you. And so I was looking up my wedding pictures because I was going to start posting some pictures. I'm like, man, I'm so glad I got married like 6 years ago, because if I was to get married today, I'd probably go bankrupt. Like,
I have seen some interesting trends. And in fact, I think one of the weddings you did, was it your wedding that someone had they drove into the wedding in a Phantom?
Into the wedding, yeah.
Like, guys, literally, one of the walls of the ballroom was
just
raised
up
and they drove in a Phantom. I was just like, I could not have afforded this.
Man, you know, so here's the thing about trends, right? It's unfortunate for the individuals, but for the vendors in the industry, mm-hmm. we love it. Because everyone is trying to keep up with the Joneses, right? You know, especially in the African community, it's like, mine's got to be way better mm-hmm. than yours. And I am always, one thing that I tell my couple is, you got to be true to yourself.
Right.
You know, no matter what you want to do, yes, you know, you want your wedding to trend, you want your wedding to go viral, but be true to yourself in the sense that after the wedding, after all is said and done, guess what? It's just you two.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody else with you guys. So, you know, with that being said, I mean, there's so many trends nowadays. You know, it's like, you know, the entrance is one thing that you're talking about. You know, people want to come in, you know, flying in an helicopter or coming in, you know, in a fancy car or driving into the reception.
Wait, sorry. So they're taking a helicopter from the church to the reception?
Yes, to the reception.
Oh,
yes.
Okay.
Or, you know, doing that grand exit, you know, doing that grand exit, you know, so, you know, that's one. I'm seeing a lot of traditions also go out of the window, you know, where, oh, you know, they say it's a taboo for you to see the bride before you walk down the aisle. But now, you know, couples are wanting to do a first look. Mm-hmm. You know, they actually get to see each other. They get to talk to the groom. They get to, you know, take pictures before, you know, they actually walk down the aisle. And that's actually one of my favorite things, because I feel like, you know, it gives the couple an opportunity to get an endless amount of, you know, pictures, you know, before, because after the ceremony, after the reception, it's just like bam, bam, bam. Like it goes so fast mm-hmm. that you don't really take that time to really enjoy the moment in yourself, you know. Gone are the days where it's open invitation and you invite everybody's, you know, cousins and neighbors, and you know, I mean, weddings are getting expensive, mm-hmm. you know, and everyone is being very, very courteous of, you know, how much they're spending. So because of that, you know, they're kind of having to, you know, go through the whole invitation only process. The parents are not so much liking that, you know, but, you know, I'm seeing that a lot of my couples are actually paying their weddings, mm-hmm. you know, gone are the days where the bride's family pays for the wedding. No, I mean, nowadays the couple are probably taking care of 80-90%, some even 100% okay. of the entire wedding.
Meaning you better get 100% say, right?
Better you, I mm-hmm. mean, before you get married, you definitely want to make sure that you have a good savings in check, you know?
So, well, then that's a good point. Let's take your very high end package. What is that mm-hmm. costing a bride these days if they want, you know, the touch of jewel luxury touch?
So my full planning starts at $6,000 mm-hmm. and that could increase based on the number of factors, right? So the number of your guests. Mm-hmm. I mean, the largest wedding I've done was about 1,200 guests,
wow.
right? So with about 1,200 people, I do need more staff on hand to manage that type of crowd.
Absolutely.
Versus if you were, you know, having a guest of 150, right? And then there are other items that couples might request from us. So guest list management is one.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a really big one that, you know, a lot of couples are just investing to just take the stress away from them. And so basically it's where, you know, once we design the invitations or whoever designs the invitations, we actually mail out their invitations to all their guests. So the couple has provided us a list of all of their guests, their emails, numbers, and addresses. Their invitations together, we mail it out for them. The RSVPs comes to us. We start through their RSVPs.
Wow.
You know, we basically call guests. So like, you know, if we send you an RSVP saying you're only allowed two and you have five names on that RSVP, we would call you to politely tell you that you're only allowed two,
this
right?
Is so full service and stress less. You don't have to deal with the auntie who wants to bring her tribe along. You will
yes,
do it. Okay.
Yes. I mean, you know, we do all of that. I mean, literally from helping you source out all your vendors, you know, attending all your vendor meetings, mm-hmm. scheduling all your calls, your meetings, your tastings. You know, I call it like the, you know, I call it my, you know, no questions asked package, you know, like whatever you want, Jewel got it, you know? So that's our highest package. But then on the lower side for the couples that are just wanting to do coordination,
mm-hmm.
That package just starts out about 2,500 and, you know, could go as high as like 4,500.
Okay. So what sort of overhead do you have as a wedding planner?
So great question, right? And this is one thing that I've struggled with, you know, get a space or don't get a space. So I have a home office.
Mm-hmm.
I have a home office. And what I'm finding is a lot of my clients, I would say probably a good 50% of my clients, first of all, are out of town,
okay.
right? So I have a lot of out of town clients. So with my out of town clients, it's very easy. I mean, I either fly to them to meet with them
mm-hmm.
or, you know, when they fly in to meet with me, we're literally just kind of tacking on things, right? So we're meeting vendors where they don't really need to meet me out of office. You know,
mm-hmm.
we're literally getting things done. So overhead right now, I mean, that I don't have to worry about the space because a lot of my clients, I mean, even considering taking Dallas Fort Worth, for instance, I mean, your average distance from one city to another, it's about 40 minutes drive. So, you know, the struggle has been, well, if I have an office in Dallas, you know, who wants to drive all the way from Burleson or Arlington? Is it convenient where everyone wants to just jump on the Skype call or a FaceTime
mm-hmm.
or a phone call and just plan and talk?
Especially
or, you know,
if they're on their lunch break. They're not going to be able
Absolutely.
To run out, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So I don't have that overhead cost. But outside of that, you know, I definitely invest in myself a lot. You know, so every year I make it a part of duty to definitely attend a wedding planning seminar or an
mm-hmm.
event planning conference, you know, and those conferences are not cheap, you know,
I'm
I mean,
sure they're not.
For the basic one, you could start out at about $1,000 and they could go as high as like $6,000 just for
wow.
the conference.
So you need one client just to cover that.
just to cover that. So that in its own, it's, you know, that's an investment,
mm-hmm.
for, you know, and then a lot of things that, you know, was just taken a lot of time for me to do on my own. I had to, you know, invest in applications to help me do things like that. Mm-hmm. You know, so say for example, you know, I'm doing a timeline, you know, back in the day when I first started, it could take me days to like work on a timeline. But now, you know, I do have an application that, you know, I plug in information, I plug in calculations, and, you know, it takes a few hours to do versus, you know, taking, you know, a whole day or a couple of days. Wow. So I definitely do, you know, have a lot of applications that I utilize just to kind of help make my planning more efficient. Mm-hmm. And it just also makes me look a little bit more professional.
Of course. You know? I think software as a service in general has really helped small businesses just elevate their profile and elevate their level of service. And so mm-hmm. certainly I've heard a lot of people do invest where they can. However, yeah. from an overhead perspective, like the $5 here, $10 here, it can start to add up.
It adds up. And, you know, I mean, I do have a team. So I have a team of 8 staff that work with me. Mm-hmm. They're almost all of them are contractors. And then I do have a part-time admin assistant that does work with me. Mm-hmm. So, you know, of course, having to, you know, pay your regular, you know, staff, you know, regular salary, that, you know, also kind of comes into play. And sometimes, you know, you take clients out for lunch, for dinner, you know, mm-hmm. try to go to fancy restaurants and stuff. And so, you know, all of those are all expenses that, you know, definitely adds up. And then I also create a special touch where like every single client of mine, I always send them, you know, some type of welcome gift or a wedding gift or, you know, so, you know, all of that is just kind of part of what, you know, you invest in as a planner. You know, you have to think about, well, what makes you different from every other planner, mm-hmm. or, you know, what type of lasting memory can you leave with your clients, you know, to make sure that they can continuously refer you to, you know, other people out there.
Wow. Just hearing you talk, I wish you had planned my wedding. Just all these little special touches and details.
It's okay. Your anniversary is coming up very soon.
Look at her working for that business. I love it. I love it. And so 2 years into the business, are you profitable?
You know, I can finally say that I recently just broke even.
Great.
To what I was making. Okay. When I was incorporated. And it really has been a blessing because I honestly would not think that the business was skyrocket that fast. And, you know, the funny thing is I have conversations with other professionals or, you know, people in the industry. And when they ask me mm-hmm. how long have I been in business, and I tell them, a lot of them are kind of taken aback, and they, you know, a lot of them feel like, man, like it seems like you've been in the business forever. But honestly, I mean, it's one thing to be passionate about what you do, but passion is not enough, because if you just let passion run you in your business, you're going to get burnt out mm-hmm. very quick, you know? So, in addition to, you know, to being passionate about what you do, I mean, you know, the hard work comes in there. The dedication comes in right. there, you know. I mean, there's so many times that, you know, I'm like, man, I think I'm kind of done with event planning. But it's like you always have to dig deep down and find that one thing that really made you want to do this mm-hmm. and just really let that, you know, be your source of motivation, really.
So what does the future then look like for Touch of Jewel? Just because it's difficult to scale and grow your company if you are doing almost everything. So what does that future look like for you?
Yep. And, you know, that is the struggle that I am right now. And, mm-hmm. you know, I think for a lot of small businesses, you know, there's that period of time where it's like dormant, like you're not moving up and you're not going down, right? But you're just kind of stagnating where you are. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times it's because, you know, there's so many ideas. I mean, there's so many great ideas that you have as a business owner, but the revenue or the capital to, you know, put those out. And it's like, okay, want to go get a loan? Do you want to get a business loan? You know, do you want, you know, how can you take your business to the next level without right. you putting yourself in debt, right? Mm-hmm. And so for me, that's kind of where I am right now. It's like, I would really love to be able to, there are a few of my staff that I really would love to bring on full time mm-hmm. and actually have them work for me full time so they can take on a portion of the business. But my end goal, I mean, I don't know if I should say my end goal, but I eventually do want to become a planning production company, right? And my vision really is to be, you know, this production company that does manage a bunch of planners under my umbrella, right? Mm-hmm. So I have independent planners that do work, you know, for Touch of Jewel, where it's not just me doing everything, right? And so, and that would also kind of help me, you know, align like packages, different pricing packages, right? Mm-hmm. So if you want Jewel, you got to be ready to pay Jewel's price.
Right.
Jewel, I do have other planners that I could recommend, you know, that are under the Touch of Jewel umbrella that can do that for you. And then, you know, just probably have planners that their niche is weddings, or, you know, their niche are corporate. So, you know, this is a whole bunch of stuff, you know, that I have in my mind. Mm-hmm. You know, as a business owner, you have a lot of thoughts, a lot of, you know, ideas going on. But eventually, yeah, I do want to become, you know, a planning production company and, you know, have a lot of planners all over the world, literally, you know, like have planners in different countries and different states that, you know, can hand you, you know, the workflow that we're doing, so I don't have to do it all.
Ooh, speak it into existence. Seriously.
Yes, ma'am.
You are headed that way. It is evident in the quality of work that you're producing. And so
Thank you.
That wants to check you out on social media and learn more about what it is that you do, where can they find you?
So I am on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Instagram has my biggest following and exposure, but you can find me at touch_of_jewel on Instagram. And I'm getting back into it, but I used to do a Thursday live series, mm-hmm. and where it's really just a live video where I get on and I do have like people within the industry and we just talk about weddings. So it's a platform where, you know, brides who are planning their weddings, maybe they cannot afford a planner, but, you know, they would like to get some information, education mm-hmm. about what to kind of look forward to, or even vendors too. Vendors that do want to learn about how they can kind of network and collaborate with other vendors in the industry. You know, can also join. So it's every Thursdays. It's coming back. I'm trying to kind of dwindle my business season, but I would be back, you know, in December, and I'll kind of start back on that. But yeah, you can also find me on Facebook at, you know, Touch of Jewel Events, and I'm also on Twitter. And yes, you know, comment, follow me. If you want to really get into Touch of Jewel, watch my stories. I get a lot of viewers, you know, watch my stories. And when I don't do a story for like a day, like my DM is just like, fool, like, Jewel, what's up? Like, where are you at? And so, you know, that kind of gives you a little bit of insight to me, my personal life, and, you know, just really behind the scenes of what all we do.
Okay. Well, Jewel, thank you so much for going off script with us today. It was great chatting.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Sewa. I'm glad that you could have me.
Hi there, it's Sewa. If you'd like to hear more from me, head over to She's Off Script and sign up to get our weekly off script updates. I'm also on Instagram at She's Off Script. Every week, we'll continue the conversation on the She's Off Script Facebook community. Don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes. I would love to hear your thoughts on my show.